Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And how are you guys doing this week?
Oh, just dandy. I have a bit of a head cold, so if I sound diseased, that's why.
Diseased. And you can get it via the podcast, listeners. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm infecting all
now.
Of you.
Don't inhale deeply on this podcast.
This is our new conspiracy theory. We're going to be seeing this all over the internet days from now. I think it's already on the internet. Well, just a little order of business. We do have a special game that we're going to be playing during this episode, and Leah is going to be our master of ceremonies. So. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know that much about what's going to be going on. We'll be ending the podcast with the game. So it's worth sticking around for, I believe. I think it's going to be entertaining. Let's start out by talking about Dynamite. This week had a little bit more of a shuffled up commentary team than usual. So JR is currently out because he's undergoing treatment for skin cancer, our traditional best to his family, to him and his whole family. So he's been getting, like, they've been replacing with some of the wrestlers to commentate on matches. So we'll start by talking about Bryan Danielson's match versus Allen Angels, which Hangman sat in on commentary for. Did you guys like him as a commentator? I think he's been on before, but mostly drunk.
Yeah. Drunk. He was good. I mean, the thing is that, like, he's got such a mild voice and a mild, like, affect that, like, he's just, I don't know. He's not the most interesting of commentators, but I love him so much that I'm like, yeah, he did a great job.
I know. I was, like, so stoked for it. And now, like, as I'm thinking back, I'm like, I don't remember anything he said except that he said the Dark Order were, like, his best friends or whatever, which made me feel pleased that he's come around on friendship. But,
That was very sweet. And he also, he had a very funny part where he was like, we're all really proud of Alan for something that he'd done, and I was like, oh, you're their dad. Yeah. Their little dad. I agree, it was fine, and it was for the storyline. Did you guys like the match? I know that some of you have things to say.
I don't know what it was this week, but Allen Angels came out and I was like, that's mommy's little boy. That is mommy's baby. He's got beautiful eyelashes. I finally adapted. I don't know how long ago he took off his mask. However many weeks, that's how long it took for me to adjust. Because for a while, I was like outraged. I was like, you put that back on. That's how I learned your face. Now I can't unlearn things.
I think he looks like an adult baby with a beard. Like in a costume, a bearded costume.
I think he's beautiful. He's a beautiful man. And he did a great job wrestling.
He is a good
jumping
wrestler.
All over.
Yeah. Could an adult baby wrestle like that?
I don't know, Leah. Just because I've never seen it doesn't mean that it couldn't happen. Open your mind, dude. One of the things that happened after the match was that Tony Khan had said that Hangman wasn't allowed to interfere with the match / touch Bryan Danielson or he would receive a penalty of some sort. So commentary and Bryan Danielson and Hangman just kept being like, we can't touch, but if we
which is the craziest way to put that They could not have said it weirder.
It could not have said it weirder. It's very like, was that show Pushing Daisies where if he touched people, they would die and stuff? And it was very like sexual tension-y. Like,
yeah, and they were like kissing through saran wrap and stuff. Yeah. That was very much the vibe that Brian Danielson was like, we can't touch, but we could kiss through saran wrap.
I know. I'm surprised they didn't get any out there and just like press their faces together.
Maybe they're saving that for later. This is a dry run, but we could come back to this plot line. I did like their little face-off. I still don't really understand. Like, I feel like the longer it goes on, the more I'm kind of like, Heal Brian is crazy, actually. I don't really get it. But he does seem to be enjoying himself, and he's fine. He's good at being mean, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like he's doing a really good job. It's still very, like, inorganic. It's very, like, why has this happened? Like, why did Hangman bring this out of you?
I know, that sweet boy, that's the one. Yeah, I agree. The math isn't all there, but.
Yeah. I mean, they're smart to have him, like, just be really mean to Dark Order guys in their hometowns. Like, if you want to get someone booed who's pretty popular, like, that's a pretty effective way to do it. So, you know.
They are, yeah, exactly. They're doing it the right way. It is just insane. Anyway, he and Hangman are going to fight in 2 weeks at what is still called Winter is Coming. And I love that. Just a little Game of Thrones throwback every year for us.
Well, what's funny about that to me is that Tony didn't even watch Game of Thrones. He just thinks it's a cool phrase.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, that's cute.
He doesn't have time to watch Game of Thrones. He's watching his wrestling.
He's got to watch all the wrestling from all the promotions, all the years. Yeah, it's funny to me that they have these little like special episodes scattered throughout the calendar where they give them a special name, but like the episode itself is just like a regular episode pretty much. Like,
it does sometimes seem like there should be like a specific themed match that's I feel like very much like someone's going to be like, that's what happens in WWE and you guys don't know that. You don't watch anything. Well, you're right, we don't watch anything and we don't know anything. It is funny. MJF also sat in on commentary during CM Punk's match versus Lee Moriarty, and he was pretty funny on commentary. Like, he was like he was annoying. Yeah. Where I was just like, oh, MJF is the one who really does want to get his head kicked in. Wrong wrestler, but
it's true. And the way he just kept grabbing the mic and being like, I don't know. Hey, do you guys think that CM Punk looks like he's on meth? I just think he does. <I know. laughs>
Which is a pretty good insult for CM Punk, because he does kind of look that way. Like, MJF is pretty spot on usually with the stuff he says. But
And he was really pushing his new PG Punk line.
Right. Yeah, which was Punk. Very annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not really that funny or anything.
No. But I guess it's like, you're not really supposed to be cool. So I guess it's fine if sometimes I'm like, oh, I actually want to knock your block off right now.
He was wearing a very dramatic Hanukkah suit, too. So
he was.
Good for him.
I know, and Punk got a little line in on that. But that was after the match, right? When he was he was like kind of breathless. So he sounded a little like, you know, like girl at the ball vibe.
And he really did look tired and worn out from that match with little Lee Moriarty, which was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where this is going, but I really am enjoying that CM Punk is able to sell that these matches are hard for him, whatever they're doing. Lee Moriarty was just wiping the floor with him until the very, very end.
Yeah. Yeah. He really got beat up a lot. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I think like some people are not, like they don't seem to be doing as much of this, like the match is telling the story in a way that you can identify, or at least that I can identify. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of fun because I'm like, oh yeah, MJF is like, you're not doing good wrestling. And then I see you getting tired and being mad at yourself about it. Wow, it's perfect for morons. I get it.
I know. Yeah. Especially with him on commentary, it really was like, thank you for hammering that in for me. Like, I need it that strong for sure.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
He did. What was going on with the Brits stuff he was talking about though, because like that was like unpleasant, and like I didn't even know why CM Punk like gets Brit dragged into anything.
Well, I thought it came back because of the first time that it came up.
Yeah,
so that is why MJF was, that's why Punk was like, you're jealous of Britt Baker, was because of the previous time when he'd been like, Britt Baker replaced you as the fourth pillar of AEW.
Oh, right.
But I agree that I don't like, I don't know. I think maybe it would be different if we actually ever saw MJF and Britt interact in any promos or anything, which would be kind of fun. And I would love that since the, you know, the men and the women often are not in the same promos. But yeah, I don't love it.
No, it's just like, it's one of those things where there's not enough women for them to get away with like bringing up sex stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And then they didn't even have like Britt or even Adam Cole like address it. Like, you know, like they had promos like right after that and it was just like whatever. But it's like, yeah. My friend Jeff actually texted and was real annoyed about it. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Like more than I was, which I appreciated because it was very sexist and uncool. Yeah.
Britt tweeted like later that night a picture of her and MJF and seemed to be fine with it. But like, it's not the same. Like, it should have been on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fine if she's fine with it. I just, it is something where I'm like, well, you can do it if you're also doing work to like integrate these characters into the same cloth of storytelling at the company, which you aren't doing. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, also, Punk just looked pretty sexy because when he come out in those when he come out in those shirts and thigh highs, it's like, you know what you're doing. It's perf stuff.
It's crazy. And his t-shirt was like long enough that it was like basically just over his panties, and it was very inappropriate looking.
You know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. We all know what it is. And
We also learned that we're going to be getting Thunder Rosa on commentary because on Friday on Rampage. Oh, you guys will have seen it already. Because Thunder Rosa's protege, Jinai Kai?
I think it's Jinai Kai.
Is fighting Jade. And Thunder Rosa and Jade have their little rivalry. Have we ever heard a woman on commentary?
Thunder Rosa's been, she's done commentary on Dark, but I don't think, I think this might be the first time on Dynamite or Rampage, but yeah, she's done it on Dark, but this is it, which is very cool.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do think when it happened and I started thinking about it, I was like, it actually is pretty crazy that there's never a woman on commentary. It's not, I'm sure I've said that on here before, honestly, but.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, AEW, if you want to attract more women, like some things to think about, like not blatant sexist stuff in promos and like, you know.
Sometimes women just like to like they hear another woman's voice and they're like, that's interesting. So
am I allowed here?
Oh, OK. Maybe it is for me. Not rocket science. And it's like, we know that many of the commentators have little Excalibur in their ear holes. I guess not when Excalibur's also on commentary, but he's there to do his Excalibur thing. So it doesn't matter.
Exactly. You only need one Excalibur.
Yeah, exactly. And there only can ever be one. Speaking of commentators or people who didn't end up doing commentary, Adam Cole also came out ostensibly to do commentary. And shall I read this quote? Do we?
It's so funny. You should.
I'll read it. This is how our friend Mary put it. She said, so Adam Cole came out, did his whole entrance in the ring just to go back to the commentary table. Then Orange Cassidy came out for no reason. They got into a fight. Their allies came out to join the fight. Then they all left without having a match or doing any commentary.
And it's just a factual description of what happened.
It is true that by the end of that segment, I had completely forgotten what was supposed to, why Adam Cole had been out there in the first place. So I think we went to commercial and I was just happily like, well, that was fun. I loved that. All my favorite boys. And had to be reminded that they Adam came out to commentate for a match that maybe never happened.
Never happened. Yeah. It was very funny too when he was coming out because he like just runs down to the ring to do the boom thing and the Adam Cole Bebe thing, and the on commentary they were just like, oh, I guess he has to go to the ring to do this. It was just like really funny.
Adam need his little entrance. I kind of wondered if I'm sure they would have just done it anyway, but I was like, he really needs it. He had a tough week. There was a lot of discourse about him, so he need everyone to be like, yes, Adam, we do like you. Well, let's backtrack a little and talk about the setup for this promo. So last Friday on Rampage, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish fought OC and Wheeler Yuta, and that was a pretty long match that ended, it went on, it was good, so I was happy, but I was kind of surprised, and it ended with Bobby Fish getting the pin on Yuta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I deeply enjoyed that. All right. OC continually trying to get his hands in his pockets and getting thwarted was so enjoyable. And Adam Cole just does an amazing, like, outraged face. Like, he just kept being like, this offends me. And I'm very upset about it. And I'm it's very good.
Yeah. He's really great. Yeah. And for this one, too, I, like, really didn't know who was going to win, which was kind of, like, fun for a change of pace. Like, although every time that, I mean, it made sense in the end that, like, Yuta got pinned and it was, you know, Bobby Fish, whatever. But I enjoy a little surprise.
When it's fun, they did a little build. You know, Bobby Fish gets a pin on Yuta, so now OC and Adam Cole are having some heat, so they'll presumably get a little singles match at some point. I thought this was really fun, and I thought it was really funny again when we were having, so the general online Adam Cole discourse, for those who don't read discourse, and that's good for you, and you shouldn't, was just that some people were tweeting and being like, wow, Adam Cole is a dummy because he's getting used like shit at AEW, and he was like really good at WWE, so he's stupid, or, you know, whatever. And I think they were specifically calling out some of the, like, look at these dumb pictures of Adam Cole in stupid Ghostbuster costumes doing dumb shit. And it's just like, Adam Cole is very clearly very happy because he is a stupid boy who likes hanging out with his stupid friends and making stupid jokes.
Seriously, he's on the road with his girlfriend every week. He is, dressing up in Ghostbuster costumes. He was having a great time.
All three of his girlfriends.
I know, exactly. All three of his beautiful girlfriends.
Long hair.
It is. I don't, like, often really feel like I like making mouth breather living in your parents' basement jokes, but a little bit. When you remind me that, like, Adam Cole is traveling with his beautiful girlfriend, I am like, some of y'all don't have a beautiful girlfriend, and it shows.
And it's like, it's so clear to me that Adam Cole is just having the time of his life. Like, do you think that Adam Cole is getting, like, forced into these things? Like, he's
I like the idea of the Bucks holding Adam Cole at gunpoint, being like, you're going to be a funny boy or so happy.
They're going to call you Budge on PTE and you'll hate it. You'll hate every second of it.
You'll hate it, but we'll love it. We'll make you do it. We own your ass. It's an interesting story. I'll say that.
Now that's a conspiracy we should push.
So it was a very funny match, which I liked. Chris Jericho, extremely funny on commentary when talking about OC. Very much the vibe of someone who's like, I actually listened to this band before they were big. And it's like, you didn't.
He's like so committed to putting OC over, like, which really, it makes me like him more than anything else, really, is when he's talking about OC on commentary. But it really is so funny where he's just like, I made this boy. This is my boy.
And he does say it really proudly when he's like, and he's actually beaten me multiple times. Me, Chris Jericho. He's beaten me. Okay. Well, I love that, Chris. He did tell a real big lie during this commentary or during this match where he was like, about OC, he said, his hair is in place all the time. And then someone else was like, it never moves. And I'm like, it moves all the time. Literally the number one thing he does in matches is just fix his hair.
Just like constantly raking it back out of his dumb forehead. Yep. students of the OC. Visage.
They've certainly not watched it as close as we have.
No.
I have a question for the two of you. Should this feud progress more, who do you want to see get the kiss, if either Chuck, OC, or I guess Yuta gets it?
Of course. I thought OC was going to get it this week, and I was pretty disappointed it got, I mean, that's not an answer to your question, but like that it got, that Chuck ran out and saved him before he could get kissed on both cheeks.
I know, you kind of want to be like, okay, Chuck, you're a really good teammate, but if you could just wait a couple minutes, like, we're actually trying to watch like a sexy little scene that the Young Bucks and Adam Cole and OC are staging for us, so stay in the wings. I want OC to get the kiss. Because, well, now I don't know, because I'm thinking a little bit about in the Miro feud when Dustin was just looking so demoralized in his butler outfit behind Miro, and OC got that kind of like blank mad look. And I wouldn't mind seeing OC get a little blank mad look about Chuck getting super kissed.
It's true.
Really can't go wrong with either of the two of them. I I don't want it to be Wheeler. I don't care if it's
I know.
It would be a little Wheeler.
You're
if
our
we got
baby,
only
but...
Wheeler and no one else, it would just be like, oh.
That would be a wasted super kiss. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. and I love you, Wheeler, and you are our grandson, but it would be a wasted super kiss. Well, I'm very excited for this feud to keep playing out. I do feel like Tony heard us complaining and was like, okay, I'll give my girls something that I know they'll love.
I really didn't. I thought we were just going to get Adam Cole and Bobby Fish, and I was very happy just to have that. But to have the Young Bucks also come out and the threat of a super kiss, it's really like, oh, Tony, sometimes you love us.
If there's a trio match, you're like, you're going to hear me screaming from space.
I loved it. So Tony, bad. Please. Tony, please.
I'll be
please,
so good.
Aren't
I'll
we your
so
good girls, Tony? We'll never say anything mean about you ever again.
Yeah. And we're really good at keeping promises like that, so don't worry about it. We have a great track record. Let's talk about someone who is not good like us, but who is bad, like a little bad boy. As you guys remember, Dante joined Team Taz last week or whatever. So this week, Leo Rush came out on Dynamite to confront Taz, who was at the commentary table, about stealing Dante away from him. It was a very weird promo.
It was so weird. I think Leo Rush possibly lost the thread of what he was supposed to be saying because he just repeated some variation of "I'm a fighter" like six times.
Yeah, it just felt like we were missing some line. Like it was like that part was kind of like normal promo, but just poured it in from somewhere else and without any, you were like, what ties this to what's happening? Like I need a few lines that's just like, I'll never give up on getting Dante back. And you know that about me because I'm a fighter. And like, mm-hmm. it just feel like it's like, do you know that you're here because of Dante specific? I need people to talk specifically about Dante. He's a boy. Right. He's a real human boy. Can we discuss him?
Our number one crusade on this podcast is specificity in your promos.
It's very true.
And I feel like for this promo too, it's like Leo Rush is the person I least need to hear from, like in terms of whose motivations I don't understand his motivations in terms of the switch they made from the start of this.
This didn't help. This didn't clarify.
And like Dante's the one who I'm like, why did he sign with Team Taz, you know? And it just like got me nowhere.
Yeah. And Dante did one little bit of he wasn't even there at the beginning. And I just kept being like, where's the baby? Where's the baby? And then he came out and just like gave Leo Rush kind of a bad boy look. Like was like very like, I've actually got a hot boyfriend now and I don't have to hang out with you anymore.
Yeah.
Look. And then went over to Team Taz. And it was kind of like, I need you to, I know you can do it. You've done it before. I need you to talk to the camera, buddy. Mm-hmm. And I need you to say something like, Leo didn't respect me as a peer, but Hook
and
respects
like,
me as a peer.
Now I'm making out with Hook behind the bleachers and I'm real happy to do it. Like, just tell me what the motivation is.
Right. I wanted to be on my boyfriend's team. You can say anything. Yeah. You can say anything, but.
Yeah, really. We're just giving you some ideas, just some starting places.
Kind of just one idea that we have and we just kind of rework.
Kind of always go back to.
We know what we like out of wrestling, and if those of you listening don't know it yet, then I worry for you.
Yeah. But it's been very weird in this to have like Leo Rush be like crazy NFT like scam guy, and then all of a sudden he's like nice and he and Dante are friends, and then Dante's just a bad boy now, and it's just like,
I know.
Has Leo possessed his body? Like, what's happening?
Oh, my God. And that would be a great storyline.
It would be, as I said it. Like, what? Get me in, coach.
And they dropped the Matt Sydal and, like, Lee Moriarty of it all, too.
Yeah.
And I keep being like, well, if Leo's been abandoned by Dante, he should go find Matt Sydal and be like, boy, we both got abandoned by Dante. Let's form a little Broken Hearts Club.
Right. Yeah. And if they're both good guys, then it should be a conversation where it's like, we want the best for him. And I know that maybe the way I took him from you wasn't right, but Team Taz doesn't want the best for him and they can't teach him how to be a beautiful high flyer like we can. So we have to get him back. And also his brother's annoyed. You know, give us something.
We want so badly to like this storyline.
I know.
Loose ends everywhere.
I do just keep enjoying it in spite of myself because I like everyone involved pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I like watching Leo Rush wrestle, even though I don't understand anything that they've done with him as a character, but we've got to do something else now. Okay, let's talk about Miro. So
this was so funny. I like didn't realize it had come back from commercial for a while because it did not look like wrestling. It looked like an Apple commercial or something.
Yeah, this is one of the craziest things that I feel like just in terms of it's like how different it is to other stuff that we see. We got back from commercial. Miro is walking around in a white green screen void in his little shorts that look so poppy against the white. And basically he's just being like, I've had enough. I've wandered for in the desert, basically. And now I will storm the gates of heaven. And then the promo ends shortly thereafter. What do you think, what is it going to look like when Miro translates the theological cry of I will storm the gates of heaven to a match on TNT television?
I don't know. Is he just going to do one-sided wrestling moves in the white void, like with God as his opponent, like Jacob wrestling the angel?
Yeah.
I want them to just completely depart from wrestling and just, like, this one segment is, like, it's just Miro going to heaven with, like, a sword and a shield. Fuck like you, St. Peter.
I'd be so delighted. You know, for a lot of wrestling moves, you don't need a visible opponent. Like, you could just flip yourself, you know? Like, it's the collaborative part. I'd love to see Miro do a wrestling match against God where Miro is the only visible presence.
What would be the opposite of collaborative? It would be collaborative.
That went great.
I really think it did. Everyone knows I know words, so don't worry about that. I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know who he's going to have beef with. I was kind of thinking, I was like, who at the company could be like a stand-in for an angel where if somebody was like tripping on acid, having delusions about religion, they would be like, I got to fight that guy. No idea.
Don't know.
Interesting.
I have no idea.
Well, I can't wait to find out.
I do really love that they just let Miro do this one-sided feud with God for, like, so long.
So
like,
long.
It's been delighting me, so I have no complaints. But it's just like, they're just like, let's just keep running with this. Like, he doesn't need anybody.
I love it. And I will say, it's like, he's not, they're good promos because he gets in and out. He doesn't belabor the point. We get it. You are insane. it's just such a little treat. It's a little dip and dot in the middle of Dynamite. This week on Dynamite also, nope, this was on Rampage last week, Eddie Kingston fought Daniel Garcia. In the pre-match promo with Mark Henry, Eddie did describe Daniel Garcia as too light in the ass to mess with me. I thought, after we've already all had a little miscommunication about the things you guys are saying to each other, it's maybe not the phrase I would have broken out since you didn't like the last time. We were like, that's sexual. But you know what? Good for them.
It's so evocative. Like, I know what he means, but it's just, you know, Eddie Kingston, he paints with his words.
He does.
He's not fooling around.
No, and he's not afraid to use an unexpected color in a sunset, you know?
That's right. Get some green in there. Why not? Startle you into looking at something, really looking at it.
It's like when people are talking about like how the Greeks would describe their colors, like by like the way they felt, that kind of junk that I don't know if it's true or if it's fake. That's what this feels like. It's like, well, I get it, but I don't think it makes sense. I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was
fun. It was fantastic. I think Eddie did such a good job selling his like the knee injury, and so like to the point where like I kept being like, someone should stop this match.
That's an old man with a bad knee. Get him out of there.
I don't think he would like to hear that, but
I don't think he would. No. This is one where I watch Rampage live and I take my Tylenol PM at 10, and I've really learned I need to rewatch Dynamite because when you put this in the notes, I was like, oh yeah, that did happen, but it feels like a dream I had, kind of. So it's like, wow, things I watch after 10 p.m. really not sticking with me.
Well, when NyQuil's kicking in, nothing can stick in that state. So that makes sense. I liked 2.0 did a move. So they were being very sweet in this match, Squarehead and Roundhead, where they were like whispering, they were like doing like boxing coach vibes at Daniel Garcia in his corner, like kind of giving him tips. And then at one point, I felt like I'd never seen this before and I loved it. they interfered by pulling Daniel Garcia out of the ring just to give him a minute to breathe. And then Eddie Kingston had to come get Daniel Garcia back and be like, I'm actually fighting your son right now as we speak. You can't remove him from the ring. And I thought that was innovative and touching.
It is. It's such good dads.
It's much more of a dad move. You know, everyone else, when you're interfering on behalf of a peer, like, of course you hit the other guy. But, you know, when it's your 7-year-old in a soccer game and they need a break, somebody just kind of grab them, pull them out. You don't kick the other kids, you know?
Exactly. It's not about beating somebody else. It's about making your little boy be the best that he can be. You're so good. Tony was so good to match them up. And then at the end, so... Eddie Kingston won, and 2.0 were beating him up. Is this right? Is this ringing bells? Yeah. And Chris Jericho came out and interfered and drove them off. So he defended Eddie, except then on Dynamite this week, he did a promo being like, I wasn't defending Eddie Kingston. I just think 2.0 are annoying. I don't know if that's what he said, but I think that was the
Something
vibe.
Something like that.
And then 2.0 and Daniel Garcia came and beat Chris Jericho up. I love when you get to go through a whole line of beatdowns in wrestling. You're just trying to remember where the dominoes go. They beat Chris Jericho up and left him crumpled on the ground. And therefore, he will not be doing Rampage commentary this week.
Coincidentally, Fozzy is in England this week. But that's just...
I was wondering what was the excuse, like what they needed the reason for, so it's good to know.
Extremely funny. I am interested in, like, obviously he needed his time off to be with his, I think it's kind of sweet that I'm like, Fozzy are your best friends, I think, and that's, I like that for you. I think it's crazy, but I'm interested in whether we are going to see any more Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho crossover events going forward. To me, they don't inhabit the same world.
No.
It's our little arrow justified
again. Which made it
again.
Kind of fascinating. Like, I was kind of entranced by Chris Jericho running out to defend him because it was like, oh, Chris Jericho, you're not usually on this end of the field, you know? Like, whatever universe
well,
you're
in. You don't usually play this position. That's
interesting. Yeah, like, what's going on? Like it.
It also was nice to, it's always nice to see Chris Jericho without anybody with him. Where I'm like, okay, I know that this isn't going to become a full inner circle joint where we're working on it for 7 years. So that's nice.
Simply because Eddie just doesn't have enough friends to serve as opponents.
He's lost his one friend.
Well, he has Monkey.
Which he does have Monkey. He's very committed to Monkey.
He's very I like that he brings Monkey up a lot. I didn't know who Monkey was, but now I know. We all know. We all know about Monkey. Also this week on Dynamite, Chris Statlander and Ruby Soho respected the hell out of each other in a match that Ruby ultimately won. This was for the girls. This was for women.
Ladies, your time to shine. It was really good. I really enjoyed this match. And it was one where it's like I really didn't want either of them to lose kind of thing. So it's like, you know... I thought they did a good job with who did and then the hug and handshake and stuff. But
that's right. And they did after Ruby won and Chris was slumped back against the ropes, disappointed in herself.
Looking very disappointed.
Extended the hand of womanly erotic respect. And Chris looked at it for a moment and then she took it and Ruby hauled her up and they embraced kind of just.
It was a tight,
the purple
good
throws.
Hug.
It was a good hug. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was not a polite hug. That was.
Those are friends. Yeah. Those women will be friends no matter who wins what match.
That's right. They're going to be allies going forward. They better anyway.
They better.
Well, they immediately were because Vicky came out and was like, I don't know, getting into a little thing with Chris. And then Nyla got into the ring and attacked Ruby. So Chris had to run back and attack Nyla and drive her away. So she immediately defended Ruby, which is one of the sexiest things that can happen after a match of mutual respect. I think that happened with Jurassic Express and the Lucha Brothers recently.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Insane that is still in there.
All the things that in your life that you've forgotten, but that was available.
I don't need it. I wish I could opt out of still having that stored in my brain because I don't need it.
This one too. Ruby did some stuff with her eyes that it was like she looked like a literal cartoon where it was like, Ruby, yeah. Are you okay?
Her face looked pretty insane. Yeah.
She looked like, right. She looked like some kind of, like, I want to say demon, but I don't mean bad. Yeah. Like a good spirit. Like there was something. She was like missing eyelids, like she was just all eyeball for
it
really
was
long.
Like in Looney Tunes when someone's yeah. eyes like literally
yes,
popped out
it was
like,
yeah.
And this isn't a good spirit, but it did make me think of Looney Tunes because it made me think of, I think at the end of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, when the villain turns out to have been a toon the whole time. Spoiler alert, shit. okay, if you haven't seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you should watch it. It's a great movie. I did just spoil it a little bit, but maybe we'll put a little disclaimer on this app.
20-year-old movie, yeah.
Anyway, but at the end, and then like his eyes are glonking out of his head because he's like melting in toxic goo.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a little bit of that. I have to say I didn't love it, and I love Ruby, but I thought we could tone the face acting down a little bit right now because it's
like,
okay.
Even for wrestling.
You know, yeah.
Even for wrestling.
I didn't mind it because Chris is so like low key. That I'm like, one of them had to be higher key, so I didn't mind it.
Well, I'd love it if they met in the middle a little
yeah,
more than
I thought
going.
Chris was doing some weird faces too, honestly. But with Chris a little more, I'm like, well, I love that you're practicing faces.
I love that so, Chris was trying. I was yeah. like, look at her doing some emoting there. I was very proud.
Yeah. And she did look, she was so strong. I said to our group chat during this, all I could think about was when we went to All Out and she held the two women in her arms. And I thought every moment that I'm seeing Chris on screen and she is not holding two women mm-hmm. aloft is in a way a wasted minute. And I think that someone should have to interrupt Chris's matches so that she has two women there.
Agreed.
Hoist.
Agreed.
Really agreed.
She needs that.
I'd really love to see her lift some men over her head too. You
absolutely.
Know,
absolutely.
I feel like that would be really good for me. I think that would bring women to AEW.
I bet she, yeah. cause, I mean, she occasionally on like does like intergender matches on the weekends. I bet she like, because I think she started lifting people when she came back from her knee injury because she got mm-hmm. really swole after yeah. that. Mm-hmm. I bet she's recently doing that.
Well,
I'm
going
to split that up.
Yeah. I mean, she has like yeah. lifted Orange Cassidy a little bit, I feel yeah. like, but yeah. you know, not.
She could
the,
lift him more.
She could lift him she more. Could she could get him higher. Come on.
We also so the women's tournament final four now are Thunder Rosa, Nyla, Jade, and Ruby, and I don't think we're seeing any more matches from that this week because we're just seeing Jade against in action on Rampage.
Yeah, in action.
So we'll see what happens there.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'd be so thrilled if any of those three other than Jade won, and
I know.
I don't think I'm gonna get it. But.
Yeah, I think it's either gonna be Jade or Ruby, and I'm still thinking it's gonna be Jade.
Yeah. I'd love it if it was Ruby, though. Ruby would be my favorite to win it.
I know. She would be a really good defender.
Yeah.
It feels a little, I don't know. To me, it just feels like a little like sloppy to have someone win a championship belt and never have lost. It's just not like it's not a storyline that I like.
And never have
I guess
wrestled
that's all
more
I can say.
7 minutes at a time.
Well, and that's going to be her problem.
Yeah.
How's she going to defend the belt if she only does squash matches? But at the same time, I don't know. They just love her so much.
It's incomprehensible.
Well, I don't know. She did. I mean, you know, I think she's improving and I want her to improve and I just am interested in how they're thinking about the plot arc, personally.
It's true.
Let's talk about the Ass Boys. Billy and Colton Gunn fought Sting and Darby this week on Dynamite. I loved this. This was for me.
It was good. I mean, they came out and they're wearing matching face paint, which was very exciting, looking great.
And I liked that it was like they did. It was skulls, but mm-hmm. it was really like contoury skulls. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, to me, looked like a sexy skull tutorial that Kim Kardashian might have done. And, and they were both really rocking it.
Yeah, both of them, their makeup looked really good this week.
At the beginning. And then I love the contrast of at the end, obviously the only thing Darby does for the whole match is just rub his face on everything in sight, like a little cat in heat. And Sting doesn't rub his face on anybody. He keeps his face clean and he uses hand and body to do smashes. So Darby just looks like it's all rubbed off, and Sting, it looks like the same as when he came out. Perfect contrast.
It's yeah, true. And meanwhile, Billy Gunn and Colton Gunn were just covered in smears of black and white.
On their nipples and all over everywhere. Their bodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that I personally like. Billy Gunn and Sting did some intense middle-aged old man kissing pose, which I wasn't opposed to.
Commentary was making me laugh because they were like, Sting doesn't look up to anybody, but he looks up to Billy. And I was like, okay.
I like that they're like, JR might not be here, but don't worry. We will still try to say things that JR would say. Thank you.
Get that color in there.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get tired of watching Darby just human cannonball himself at people. Like the way he goes through the ropes or like out of the tunnel, it's so fast and it's amazing.
One of them, he genuinely looked like he landed on the back of his neck. And I was like, oh, he's dead. He's dead now. That man is dead.
He'll never die.
I know. Or if he does, it'll be how he wanted to go.
It'll be like driving a car off a cliff. Yeah, for sure.
Well, his body is the car and he drive it off cliff every day. Yeah, it's crazy to watch. I feel like if there's someone in your life that you're like, I wish they would see wrestling as cool and understand how it's a feat of strength and agility more than any of the rope stuff, show them Darby doing that human cannonball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they will be like, how is that not happening with wires or something? Right. Like, it's insane. Okay, should we do our game?
Little game.
So I'm going to turn things over to Master of Ceremonies, Leah.
Okay, so what we are going to be doing is a flavor of Marry, Fuck It, or Kill. But I am Mary only giving you... I'm only giving you the wrestlers' real names, so you only find out who you're marrying afterwards.
Okay. We need to clarify. I feel like I recently learned that some people thought that your marriage could be a sexless marriage, whereas I always assumed that the marriage in this game had to be sex and life partnership.
Yeah, I thought it meant you got to like fuck them, but you also had to live with them.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Which is harder.
Oh yeah, this is a full marriage. Oh yeah.
All right. Cool.
Some people are like,
oh sure, I'll marry them. Like I don't mind being platonic roommates with someone. It's like
No, that's not marriage. This will be consummated. Don't worry.
Good.
I'm
more worried than ever before, honestly.
Yeah, right. Surprise ending to this game is like, and they're waiting in the wings for you.
I'm also going to disclaim that I did not do any creep research to find any of these names. These are right from Wikipedia. I did not do anything weird to get them.
That's a good clarification.
Thank you so much. I also eliminated, obviously, anybody who is just wrestles under their real names because that's very boring. And I eliminated anyone who I knew Allie and Anne know their real names because that would be too easy.
I mean, I won't get to choose to marry Dustin.
You will not.
Boo. Okay. So you share that you learned in the course of this that Bobby Fish's real name is Robert Fish?
Oh my God. I meant to say while we were talking about Bobby Fish that, no, this isn't in, you know what? I won't share it. Okay. But I did love that. Go on.
All right. Are you ready for your first trio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Samuel Ratched, Tom Budgen, and Scott Colin.
Holy shit. These are not, you're lying to me. These are not people that I watch on TV.
No.
Say the names again.
So.
Samuel Ratched.
You know the third one? Okay. Samuel Ratched.
Mm-hmm. Tom Budgen and Scott Colin.
Scott Colin? Like Cullen, like the vampire?
No. Colton. T. There's a T in there.
Oh, Scott Colton. Oh my God. Okay, well,
you guys have to choose.
Okay, I know. I'm gonna marry Scott Colton, and was it Tom Budgen was the middle one?
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill him.
Okay.
And fuck Samuel.
Okay.
What was his last name? Ratchin?
Ratch. R-A-T-S-C-H.
Okay.
Okay. Allie?
I don't know. I got to spin the dice, I guess. I am going to marry Samuel. I am going to kill Tom. And I am going to fuck another man.
Okay. I'm very happy that you guys didn't choose the same ones. And you have married Colt Cabana.
Yep, I have.
I knew it was going to be a toss. Sometimes Anne and I have very similar taste, and sometimes we don't. I'm glad I'm not. Did I just kill Colt?
No, you're sorry. Fucking him.
Oh, God. That's okay.
I just figured
that's
Colt's okay. Like a safe bet to marry. It's like, I know what I'm getting. It's not great, but it's like, it's okay. You know, it's not going to be like, I'm now married to Chris Jericho.
That's true. I can't sit across from the breakfast table from Colt's jokes. Personally, no, that's not an early morning thing for me. So, okay, I'm not an
early morning thing.
Anne, you are fucking Darby.
No, all right.
Allie, you have married
Darby.
You have it. No, you married Darby.
Oh my god.
Fuck you.
I can't believe this has happened to me.
Wait, we were trying to
thank the
Samuel?
Academy.
Was he Sam or Tom?
Sam.
Okay.
So, therefore, Anne, you have killed Malachi Black.
Oh, man. Actually, I really shouldn't have gone
both
for Colt.
Him?
You both killed Malachi Black. Yeah.
No. Huh. Tom yeah. Budgeon. It's not as metal as he used.
I know. I guess we should have. He's from the Netherlands. Is that a little Nether?
Yeah. A little Dutch name? I guess it is. I wouldn't have thought it was, though.
Wow, I'm not going to be able to keep up
Mary
with
Darby
as a husband. Wow. I'll say that.
No, I hope you enjoy riding mechanical bulls every weekend and like jumping over flaming cars.
I won't do that. It's going to be an outdoor cat situation where it's like he can come and go as he pleases. And I'll make a beautiful home. He's not going to appreciate the antiques, but I'll be like, they're creaky like you. It's your broken body. Okay, well, I love this. Hit us with another.
Great.
All right. Ladies edition. Are you ready?
Yes.
Monica Bidnell, Laura Dennis, and Anna Jernigan.
Jernigan? Okay, Monica, Anna, and Lauren. Laura?
Yeah. Laura.
Monica, Anna.
Okay. I'm going to marry Laura. And fuck Monica and kill Anna.
Okay.
Can you say their names for me one more time?
Monica Bidnell, Laura Dennis, and Anna Jernigan.
Okay. I am going to fuck Anna. I am going to marry Laura. I think that Allie Dennis is kind of cute. Alexandra Dennis. I think that's cute.
You changed your name in this scenario.
I guess so. I don't know. She's a woman, so it's not for fun. Maybe
call,
she'll take mine. You know, she might take mine. You know, it could be a little exchange.
So you take hers and she takes yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for that's fun.
Nice. That's nice.
Yeah, you know. And, okay, well, I won't say my last name.
So you're going to
okay,
kill.
Good try, guys. You try to
we just say
me.
Marjorie's last name every week.
Well, she volunteered for that. And who am I now?
You're
kill?
Killing Monica in that case.
Oh, absolutely. I would kill Monica for sure. Okay.
All right. Are you ready? So you both have agreed to marry the bunny.
Okay.
All right. It's not,
fine.
You know.
It's loud. It's, you know.
And she's the Dennis.
Yeah, she is. She's Laura Dennis.
It's so funny that her name is Laura, but her stage name is Allie. I always find it a little bit weird when someone changes their name to like a regular other name.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. But I can't see her as a Laura. She doesn't seem
it's a
like
little,
a Laura.
It is a little low key. And yeah. Allie is a name that can go a lot of ways. As an Allie, I can say it. Like, that could be a real normal girl or a real not normal.
Anne, you are fucking Abaddon.
Oh. But
Allie, you have killed her. You've killed Abaddon.
Okay, sorry, Abaddon, but that checks out. Like, especially if it's like I run into you in the dark of night.
I'm frightened, but I guess I'm going through with it.
Okay. And then, Anne, you have killed Anna Jay, and Allie, you are fucking Anna Jay.
Okay, that's okay. That's not my first choice, but I mean, yeah, I think that's good. Okay, yeah, I will have sex with her. All right, I will have sex with her. Perfect.
Twist your arm.
All right, you ready for your next trio?
Yeah.
Okay. Len Olson.
Len.
Philip Brooks. And Andrew Williams.
These are so normal.
Oh my God. Len Wilson. Philip
Olson.
Len Olson. Philip Brooks. Andrew Wilson.
Williams.
I think we should have, if we play this again, we'll have to make you send the names in a chat so you don't have to say them over and over again.
It's true, but actually I don't want you to be able to guess, like, if you, once you see spellings and stuff, I like you have to hear it. It makes it harder.
Okay.
I'm gonna marry Philip and fuck Andrew and kill Len.
Hold on. Marry Philip. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you were gonna do what?
Fuck Andrew.
Okay.
And kill Len.
Okay.
I am going to kill Andrew. It's not personal, but I do have a little theory about the name. I don't engage with it. I'm very attracted to it, but it's a bad situation for me personally, so it's really not safe. So I have to kill him. I can't. Oh my God. That leaves me with some dark options.
Yeah, what are you doing with Len? Where's Len gonna go?
I guess I'll fuck him. I can't marry a man named Len. I'm gonna tell people I'm married to a Len. I don't see it for me. I don't really see me saying I'm married to a Philip either, but I guess that's what I will have to do.
I like that you guys keep marrying the same people.
I didn't even notice.
You've both married CM Punk.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's another outdoor cat situation.
Yeah, for sure. You can come in with the salt and pepper beard, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not unhappy about that.
No,
about other parts of the arrangement. So
what's his name? That was
Philip Brooks.
You know, I think I did know that at one point, but I did not remember it when we were.
I think MJF called him Phil at some point.
That's ringing a bell.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and you are fucking the butcher.
Okay,
Allie, you have killed the butcher.
Sorry, man.
The butcher's a dangerous Andrew.
And Allie, you are fucking Luther.
Interesting. Is Luther? Did I run into Luther when we were at
Yes, his hotel room was quite close to ours.
He had a really spooked little like face under, like with no face paint on.
Yeah, he looked very much like he just wanted to like get his takeout out of the hall and go back in the room when we saw him.
I'm gonna create like a scenario in my head where he is a ghost. And we do.
Okay.
It's kind of like an interesting. Like it's like we like meet sexually across the realms, and that's just what his face says to me. So I feel okay about this.
You know, I think actually, like knowing which guys those were, I think that's what I would have chosen. I think I just sensed it, you know, through the ether, their names.
We're all always sensing things. Do we have some more?
Oh, we have a bunch more, but I'm keeping an eye on time, so I'll stop us when we...
Okay.
I have more than we have time, is all I'm saying.
That's perfect, because we can come back to this game.
Oh, that's true. We could just play a little bit of this game, like do two or three a week, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Paige Wooding, Olivia Hassler, and Tanea Brooks. Paige, Olivia, and Tanea. I'm not confident I'm saying the last one right. Tanea.
Sounds reasonable to me. Paige, what's the second name?
Olivia.
Olivia and Tanea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay. I will marry Paige. Ooh, no, Allie. No, I will fuck Paige. I knew a very dumb girl named Paige once. Really beautiful. had a big crush on her. It's one of a, it's a Herman situation. I'll explain that another time. I will marry Tanea. Mm-hmm. Seems fun. I like Brooks. It's Tanea Brooks.
Yeah.
You're going to be Ellie Brooks. Brooks. Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will kill Olivia. And she knows what she did.
Okay.
Anne. Yeah.
Okay. I am going to marry Olivia, I think.
Interesting.
Fucked Tanea.
What she did was Anne.
So. That's right. So I can't believe you killed my wife. And
you're fucking Tanea?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then so I guess kill
killing
Paige.
Paige.
Okay.
Let's see. And your marriage with Allie is going to get very complicated because, wait, did I, what, wait, you said you were going to marry Olivia and kill Paige? Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I think so. I think so.
Because you've also married Penelope.
Oh.
So that works. Allie, you've killed Penelope.
Well, that's better for me. No discord in the bedroom over that. But that is actually quite a shame.
And
I'll say no more.
You have killed Jamie Hayter. Allie, you fucked Jamie Hayter.
I should have married her. Shit. Oh, fuck. What's her name? Olivia?
Paige no. Wooding.
Paige Wooding. Oh, I should have known that was British.
British. Yeah. Fuck,
I should have married her. Mm. Shit.
So that means, Anne, you are fucking Rebel. And Allie, you are marrying Rebel.
Okay. Huh. Rebel's name is Tanea?
Yes, Tanea
You
Brooks.
Know, I huh. can see Rebel being a good wife. I can see her standing by me in times of trial. She won't be driven off by my moods. Yeah. I am. This one has hit me quite hard, actually. Am I glad I didn't kill Jamie Hayter? Yes. Would I give anything to marry Jamie Hayter? Yes.
You came so close to doing it, too.
I know. I almost made eyes at you and I didn't.
This is the Herman curse. And that's life, I guess.
All right. You guys ready for your last one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Irvine.
But yes. Christopher
Ronnie Arneal and Ronnie. Steve Borden.
Okay. 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 Steve Borden is out. Because that is, as we know, a cursed last name for murderers. So sorry, Steve. Bye. Say the other two to me again.
Christopher Irvine, Ronnie Arneal.
I will fuck Ronnie and marry Christopher, I guess.
Okay. I think I'm going to marry Steve and fuck Ronnie and kill Christopher because I'm scared it's Chris Jericho.
Did you have any idea about the other ones?
No.
Because that's the order that you would have done if you knew who it was.
Ooh, I could sense it through the ether.
This bode not well for
excited.
Me.
Yeah, you're fucked, Allie.
What did
Allie,
I get?
You have killed and Anne, you have married Sting.
Oh,
no.
Allie.
Oh, no.
Allie, you killed him so fast.
I know. What was his name? It was a Borden, Steve Borden. I just had the little rhyme going in my head. Do I even have it right? Lizzie Borden.
Lizzie Borden took an axe.
Yeah. You know what? I defended myself in the only way that I could. And I'm sorry, Sting, but I'll be okay. My heart will go on.
Both of you have chosen to fuck Sean Spears.
All right.
She got us. I'm not going to enjoy it. And he's gonna leave the hat on. Maybe multiple hats. I don't know.
I've honestly come around on Sean Spears. I might be Sean Spears.
This is disgusting.
Sexual.
I can't. Yeah. I don't want to hear this. This is repulsive.
This is the greatest day of my life. Allie, unfortunately, Anne was correct. You have married Chris Jericho.
You know, he's got a lot of money. And he's always off on his cruises and going out with Fozzie. And I like to say, like, really supportive things. Like, I'm like, I love that you have Fozzie, babe. Spend all the time with Fozzie that you need. So it's okay. And then I spend his money.
Okay. What if it doesn't go to Donald Trump anyway?
That's right. Oh, my God. I'm infiltrating.
That's true.
Take that money away.
Yeah.
I take the money away. Yes, I take the money away.
That's right.
Okay.
You do. It's a service.
All right. Well, there were highs and there were lows.
Could not be more correct.
These names are crazy. And I have to say, when you hear them, you think like, oh, yeah, I would change my name.
Yeah, you're like, that's not a name for a person who, for a weirdo who became a pro wrestler.
Yeah. Wow. That's not right. Well, I loved this game. I'm glad that we have some more that we can come back to. And
I'll save them. I'll save them for the next time. For the next time we don't feel like doing opinions.
Yeah, we ran out of opinions this week. And you know what? That's our prerogative. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what you think of our Fuck, Marry, Kill choices. And come back next week.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.